You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the gospel reading previously read today from Mark chapter 10. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the Pharisees come to Jesus with a question, as Pharisees often did. They asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And when they ask, "Is it lawful?" they're asking whether it is in keeping with God's Old Testament law that he had given. Is it in keeping with that law for a man to divorce his wife? The Old Testament law in question is Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. You can look it up sometime, which says that a man could divorce his wife if she had committed some indecency. Some indecency. Some shameful behavior of some kind. The question in Jesus' day was, what counts as an indecency? There were basically two schools of thought. Some were teaching that a man could divorce his wife only if she had committed a serious transgression like adultery. The other view said that a man could divorce his wife for practically any reason, even a trivial reason. We have examples, we have records where men divorced their wives because the wife was not a good cook. That's all it took. Of those two views, the view that said there had to be some serious transgression versus the view that said it could be even for a trivial reason, it was the latter view, the view that said divorce should be easy to obtain, that view was more popular and more common in Jesus' day. But there was disagreement, and there was a debate going on. And so they decide they're going to ask Jesus, "What do you think, Jesus? Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" So, what does Jesus think? Notice where Jesus doesn't go for his definition of marriage and his understanding of divorce. He does not go out and conduct a survey and find out that 51% of the people think such and such about marriage and divorce, so let's go with the majority opinion. Jesus doesn't do that, because the majority opinion in a sinful world is often wrong. And Jesus also doesn't answer by asking what is the newest, latest, most modern view of this topic. What are the trendy people doing? What are the celebrities doing? What are the influencers doing? Jesus doesn't go there either, because the fact that something is new and trendy doesn't mean that it's better or true. Notice also that Jesus does not ask, "What does your heart tell you?" or "What do you feel is the right thing for you in this moment?" Jesus doesn't go there either, because the heart also is unreliable. And it often leads us astray, as it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. In fact, as Jesus explains, it was the hardened hearts of the people that caused Moses to allow divorce in Deuteronomy 24 the way he did in the first place. So where are we to go for a true definition and understanding of marriage? Jesus goes back to the beginning. to creation, to today's Old Testament reading, Genesis chapter 2, where we are given God's original definition of marriage. Jesus said, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And there, I think, in that last sentence, lies the rub, the difficulty. When Jesus says, "What God has joined together, let not man separate." What God has joined together. We usually think of marriage as what we join together. Marriage is something that we do. The couple meets and they go out and they fall in love and he asks her to marry him and she says yes and they plan a big wedding and they spend a lot of money and they're married. And all of those things, that big long list of things that we call marriage, these are all things that the couple did. And since marriage is something that the couple did, then of course the thinking is that they're free down the line to undo what they did, if one or both of them so choose. People put themselves together in marriage, therefore people can always pull themselves apart in divorce. Marriage is what people do. But Jesus said, "What God has joined together, let not man separate." Jesus said that marriage is not something we do, it is something that God does. God is the one who joins a man and a woman together in marriage. Therefore, man is not to undo something that God did. This is why Christians historically have always held to a very high view of marriage. We don't treat marriage as a casual thing. We take it very seriously because God takes it very seriously. It was for our benefit that God gave us such a high and holy gift as marriage. There are huge benefits to individuals and families and societies when marriage is taken seriously. Our families are stronger, our values are stronger, our schools are stronger, our economy is stronger, our prisons are less full. The poor have a much easier time handling poverty and getting out of poverty when marriage is respected and practiced. On the other hand, when marriage is treated casually, or is openly mocked, or is undefined to the point that it no longer means anything, then naturally the individuals and families and institutions of society pay the price. God knew what he was doing when he created them male and female and joined them together in marriage. But it is at this point where you and I begin to think of all the things that can go wrong in a marriage, things that have gone wrong in marriage. What if he cheats on you? What if she's addicted to something? What if we just don't get along? What if neither of us are happy? What if someone better comes along? According to the popular view in Jesus' day, and the popular view in our day, the answer to all of those questions is divorce. Divorce. Let me pause here for a moment. Let me stop talking about marriage for a minute and let's shift our perspective right now. We're going to shift the topic away from marriage and we're going to talk about a different relationship, not the relationship between husband and wife, but now the relationship between you and God. the relationship between you and God. What happens when things go wrong in our relationship with God? What happens when we cheat on God? What happens when we fail to do His will? What happens when we pursue other gods instead of worshiping the true God? What should God do when things like that happen? Is the answer there also some kind of separation and divorce? God should divorce us. God should reject us because we have been so unfaithful to Him in so many respects. Well, listen to what God says about His relationship with you in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, which says, "If we are faithless, God remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." In other words, God doesn't give up on you. God couldn't and wouldn't back off on His promises to you. His promises hold. They hold forever. And according to His promise, God sent His Son, Jesus, into this selfish, broken, unfaithful world in order to win a bride for Himself. A bride to whom He would be faithful forever. As St. Paul explains in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus died on the cross for His bride, the church, for you and me, to save us from our sins, whatever those sins might be, whatever those sins might be, whether it be marital sins or sexual sins or the sin of idolatry or the sin of stealing or murder or gossip or coveting or lying, for all those things, Jesus died in your place. And from all those sins, St. Paul goes on to say, Jesus has sanctified you. He has cleansed you by the washing of water with the Word. In your baptism, God has declared you to be His own, making you a new person, so that we, the church, are presented to Jesus, forgiven of all of our sins, whatever those sins might be. Whatever those sins might be, whether it be marital sins or sexual sins or the sin of idolatry or the sin of stealing or murder or gossip or coveting or lying. Now, in Christ, you are a new creature, holy and set apart, forgiven and set free. In Christ, your sins are forgiven. And that bridegroom, your Jesus, is faithful to you. His heart is not hard. He is faithful even when you have been faithless to Him. He doesn't leave you when you fail. He doesn't give up on this relationship. He will not let you go or lose you, no matter what happens. This is the same divine love that wouldn't let the disciples keep the children from coming to Jesus for His blessing. Jesus said, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them." It is a divine love that simply doesn't give up and will allow nothing to get between you and Him. In the New Testament, marriage, earthly marriage, is a picture of all of this. God established marriage and family to be a picture of God's unfailing commitment to you, His people. So, as broken as this world is, as spotty as your track record might be when it comes to marriage and family, we each have hope and joy and peace in Christ. And our hope is not in our ability to uphold God's definition of marriage, or in our ability to keep perfectly any other commandment of God. Our hope is in the unfailing love of God, His patience and loving kindness toward us that have no end. And so we come today to the Lord's table, His body which is given for you, His blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. And He sends you forth then to show and tell in your families and in your neighborhood the divine love of your bridegroom who holds you fast and will not let you go. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.